Well, hello there and welcome. Thank you so much for carving out a little bit of time on your Friday, the Feast of St. James, to be with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, it is your show. We look forward to your participation today. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani.
Hello there. It's Friday. I love this day. I've always loved Fridays. I think it's because I went to Catholic school and we got done a little bit early on Fridays. Couldn't wait to get into my regular clothes and get out of the uniform, right, and go play with the kids in the neighborhood. It was always so much fun. So I love Fridays. But Jerry, I am sporting the St. Vincent de Paul hat because they are in need. It's summertime and there's a lot of people that are less fortunate that need some help in situations with all sorts of things. And St. Vincent de Paul is right there in our community. So please, if you see them with their cans that they're collecting or, for donations or for help or for volunteering, please, St. Vincent de Paul, because folks are really hurting right now. The summer heat and all sorts of things, floods and other issues are really affecting their lives. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, we always help one another. So I promised St. Vincent de Paul I would wear the hat. So there I am on Fridays to get everybody reminded. But that's not our topic today, Jerry. Our topic has been suggested by one of our listeners, which I find to be a fascinating one.
Well, I think you, the listeners, are going to as well. Eileen, one of our listeners, we tell you that this is your program, and it really is. And when you suggest show topics, we take them very seriously. And a listener by the name of Eileen suggested that we talk about going to the doctor, medical procedures, surgeries. Do you get apprehensive beforehand? Do you have a sense of peace come over you? Do you get prayed up before you go into any kind of a surgery or a doctor's appointment? If you work in the medical field, maybe you're a physician or a nurse practitioner or some kind of a medical assistant, talk about some of the ways that you like to put patients at ease. So we're talking today about apprehension, fears, being a little bit nervous before going to see the doctor or have some kind of a medical procedure. If you have an experience about this, please call. You have something to say that will impact your fellow Take Two family members, because there are people right now who have upcoming medical situations that they might be a little bit nervous about. You could help to change their perspective a little bit. 833-288-EWTN is the number to call. 833-288-3986.
And our wonderful Take Two family member who suggested this topic, Eileen, will be our first caller who's going to lead the discussion. I just love that when those that suggest the topics call in and participate. So way to go, Eileen. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. There's room for you if you have ever been apprehensive about an upcoming surgery or medical procedure. Jerry and I have had surgeries and medical procedures, so we get it. We totally understand. And by the way, thanks, you guys. I just got a message from someone who volunteers at St. Vincent de Paul, and they said thank you so much for recognizing that they are in need right now during this summer. Yes, yes, and yes. See, this is what Take Two is all about. We're family. So as family, we participate, right? We just don't sit this out and think somebody else is going to take care of it. We need you to call in. So you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you've ever been apprehensive about a medical procedure or upcoming surgery, how did it turn out? What did you do? What prayer practices? Did you have the anointing of the sick, something of that nature, please call in. And you know I'm going to say this, guys, I'm like a broken record. Don't get started with your weekend yet. We need your help. So fill those phone lines. Let's go. We're very friendly. Well, I know that Vanessa is super friendly. She's answering the phones. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
I think it's just human nature to be, have a little bit of concern anytime we're going to go to the doctor or have a surgery or any kind of a medical procedure, because, things can happen, and we certainly entrust these situations to the Lord and ask for His peace in these situations. I can share, about my brother John. He recently had a hip replacement, and he put it off for probably 2 or 3 years and was walking around in great pain just because of his apprehension, but afterwards he was so glad he did it. So if that sounds like something you've experienced, Take Two family, maybe you put something off for a while and then maybe you went through with it and now it's just been kind of a life-changing thing for you, I'd love to have you share with that, because again, you're going to maybe put some minds and hearts at ease with what you share today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And we can talk about the anointing of the sick if you've ever had that wonderful, amazing healing and comforting sacrament. We'd like to hear about your experience. And it's always important, we believe, to go to confession before you go into any type of medical procedure or surgery. It's important to get right with God. If God forbid anything should happen, you want to be in a state of grace, and that's very important. And then the anointing is also this preparation, this to really get the body in a beautiful place and a place of healing, because you go for that healing, but you go for more of this spiritual peace and understanding that we are meant to get back to God, and so we need to be at peace every aspect of the journey of life, right, Jerry? I think that's the most important thing. Be at peace with each step of the way.
Indeed. Yeah, I remember my recent back surgery several months ago. I didn't really have time to get apprehensive because I went into the ER on one evening and they found the MRI found the infection, the abscess. And the next morning, I was going to go into surgery. And I remember it just dawned on me, you know, I hadn't had the anointing of the sick. And they were just about to put the anesthetic, cup on my face to put me out. And all of a sudden, who walks around the corner? My spiritual director, Father Derek, from the seminary. So it was just like this amazing providential moment where I got the anointing of the sick before I went in. But we're talking today, basically, to boil it down, folks, how are you about going to doctors, getting procedures, surgeries, things like that? Are you comfortable with it? Have you had an experience, where you just have maybe had this amazing sense of peace come over you that you couldn't explain, but it was just, really a gift from God? We're talking about going to these, going through these experiences in life. And as I said, there are a lot of people probably with things on their calendar right now that are coming up shortly. So you will definitely impact your fellow Take Two family members with what you share today on the broadcast. Let's end the week strong here. Go into the weekend with an impactful conversation, including your take right now at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. As Debbie said, Eileen in Long Island is the one who suggested this topic, and she is going to be the first one up on the phones, along with Donna in Pennsylvania. And hopefully you will join us here on this Friday episode of Take Two.
That's the way to do it. The Take Two family is filling up the phone lines. You always do. You never disappoint us. We are so amazed by your generous, time that you give us, and you care about other souls. It's very obvious. So somebody fill up that last phone line, please, so we can get the first set of calls ready to go. Eileen, hang on just a few more seconds, but here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. An online learning series, Women Made New, Discover the Beauty, Truth, and Goodness of the Church, with the EWTN online learning series. You can delve into the riches of the faith and grow closer to the Lord with free videos and study guides. In Women Made New, you'll be inspired by the stories of Kristalina Everett, Joy Pinto, Teresa Tamio, and Cameron Fradd, as you hear how God helped them overcome trials and that He will help you too. I love that. Enroll in our courses today at learningseries.ewtn.com. Okay, Eileen, now you're going to get to start the discussion, because this is the suggested topic by you from Long Island, New York on Sirius XM 130. Welcome, Eileen, back to the program.
Hi. Well, I'm glad that the surgery is over. It went well. And obviously I'm now in all the rehab things. And one of the things I did was I decided to make fun of the surgery. So I decided that we should have a game called Pin the Patella in the Kneecap, in the Knee Socket. So my sister went and sent me her drawing of, she doesn't draw well, so she told me that was a knee socket, not a tree. And she gave three little discs for me to be able to go and pin the patella in the knee socket.
Oh, nice. Well, we're glad that everything went okay, Eileen, and really especially glad that you suggested this topic, because we have a lot of people right behind you who are going to share their experiences. But so how are things going? I mean, you had the knee surgery, so are you back to running marathons yet, or how are you doing?
not just yet. It was only on the 14th, but you get physical therapy at home, and the therapist who's been coming to see me is very pleased. She says, I'm making good progress. I'm hoping, because it's my left knee, to be able to drive when I see the doctor next Thursday. That'll give me driving privileges back.
Oh, nice. Great.
You know. Mm-hmm. So
that's always a good thing.
It's just a little weird to not be the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're on the receiving end now, and that's a good thing. I mean, you can learn so much, and like you said, your attitude about this, kind of making it a bit of a game, I think that's really good. It keeps kind of the joy in things and makes it seem like this is another thing you're just going to get through and get past and healed, and you're back driving again on those open roads, Eileen.
hopefully, but yeah, no, I'm doing good. The pain is nothing like it was before surgery, so.
Oh, good.
That's a good thing. Yeah, so I can feel the difference, so that's a good thing.
Oh, praise God for that. Yeah. Well, we'll keep praying, Eileen. You're going to be back to your old self here, better than your old self here in no time. And again, we're just so glad that you are a part of the Take Two family and you suggested this topic, because it's really a popular one, as you're going to hear during the remainder of this broadcast, Eileen. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you for the prayers. It did help.
Good.
We'll praise God.
Yeah.
Yes. God bless you, Eileen. Keep us posted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Good. Yes. Great call. Yeah. I love when those that suggest the topics call in.
Yeah.
Makes it so personal. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, that line is open that Eileen was on, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. For those who just tuned in, it's your show. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Today we're talking about doctor appointments, medical procedures, surgeries, how you feel going into them, apprehensive, confident, nervous, peaceful. What has been your experience? And maybe you've got one coming up that you'd like prayers for. We can certainly get the prayers going. 833-288-3986. Let's go to Rachel in San Antonio, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Rachel.
Hey there. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you so very much. I enjoy listening to your show whenever I get a chance.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to say that I have been 9 years on chemo. I got diagnosed in 2016. Actually, I had double cancer in 2016. They found another one, and I had a full surgery for that one, and it went well. I'm 5 years passed already, and I'm free of that cancer, but the myeloma still lives. And I have chemo today, in fact. But what's interesting is one time a priest from our church told me that I am a witness when I'm in the chemo chair.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people around you when you're in chemo. The whole room is full. It holds about 100 people.
Mm. Yeah.
It's incredible to think about. And sometimes I would pray my rosary. And one time a nurse came up to me and said, wow, I haven't prayed a rosary in a long time. She told me later, the next week that I went to chemo. She said, and for the longest time, I had not prayed a rosary, and I saw you praying it, so I decided to pray one.
Aww.
I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, you know, and that's mm-hmm. something that it brought to my mind what Father said, that I'm a witness. I didn't even think about that. Or just visiting with people. You listen to their story, they listen to your story, and it's kind of like a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was thinking of my best friend. She ended up with just the procedure to get her knee done and ended up with quadruple bypass cardiac surgery.
Boy.
Ooh.
Not even, no symptoms of the cardiac whatsoever, because sometimes women are silent,
mm-hmm.
you know, when
mm-hmm.
it comes to cardiac issues. And she went in peacefully. All she asked God was to be able to see her grandchild be born because her daughter-in-law was pregnant with their firstborn baby. And sure enough, he's going to be 2 in September. Oh, and she's doing well. She actually had her knee surgery finally this this past 2 months ago. And she's doing really well, still in rehab. But both of us, you know, with me, I'm more chicken when it comes to procedures. Mm-hmm. But I'm used to it, you know. I have chemo at 1 o'clock today. You know, and this mm-hmm. chemo is ongoing. It never stops. And the side effects, now I'm getting used to the side effects. It's fever and chills tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm
so
getting
you're prepared for it. Right.
But they're very difficult. So keep me in prayer. I get the anointing of the sick right every month if I can because it's an ongoing situation. And I go to confession about once or twice in 2 to 3 months, you know. So there's a priest there at church who's 93 years old and confesses at 5:30 in the morning before 6 a.m. Mass.
God bless him.
So, Rachel,
and I'm there at 5:20 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Rachel, you know, wow, we're listening to your story. I agree with that priest. I know Jerry's nodding his head, too. He agrees, too, that you are such a witness, and the ability for you to be Christ to others and for them to be Christ to you during those treatments. Wow. Rachel, you're in some interesting situations and scenarios and the environment for you to really live out your Christian life in such a beautiful way and gain such great merit for being strong. You're a strong woman, Rachel. You know, you made the comment you kind of chicken when it comes to this. I don't think so. I think you are tough, you are a survivor, and you are a thriver. So, sister, keep going, okay?
Thank you. Much appreciated. Peace be with you. Keep me in thought today at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
We will
got
do
it.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be 1 o'clock Central Time. Okay, got it.
Yes, thank you, Rachel, for the call. And the whole Take Two family will be praying for you. And she just makes such an amazing point, Debbie. And I'm so self. Yeah, you know, I've said on the show, I'm a horrible sufferer, and I get so turned in on myself. You know, when things are not going well, and yet here is, you know, Rachel teaching us a beautiful lesson about how eyes are on us at all times in our lives.
She was praying the rosary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every day of our lives, everywhere we are, everything that we're doing, someone is going to be watching and impacted by that. And we have this opportunity all the time. And how many souls, Rachel, Debbie, has Rachel probably put at ease who were in that same mm-hmm. chemo room with her, mm-hmm. who were really probably apprehensive and very fearful. So
yeah. Rachel, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And yes, we've got you down for the 1 o'clock treatment. We'll be praying and asking all the angels and saints to surround you. So thank you. Okay, Jerry, I think we're going to Virginia. What do you say?
Yeah, Dorothea in Ashland, Virginia, a first-time caller listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Dorothea. Welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well, and we hope that you are, too.
Yes, I just wanted to call talking about knee surgeries. I had one knee surgery, and then the next year I had another knee surgery. And it was so peaceful, and the pain after the surgery was, it hurt a little, but it was quite tolerable. And I give that all to prayer. I had all my friends pray for me, and I had all, even the people on Facebook, I just said, whoever you pray to, please pray for me because I'm having knee surgery. And it was, other people talk about pain, but I can honestly say that dear Jesus blessed me, and I did not have the pain that a lot of people go through. Mm-hmm. Now, on the 25th of August, I have to go for hip surgery because I wore out my hip. Mm. Because I waited so long for the knee surgery. So if I can have prayer for that, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got you in the book. Yeah. You sound like you have a really good joy about you, though, Dorothea. So I mean, you're keeping the sense of humor, huh?
Oh heavens, yes! I told my dear friend who's a doctor. I said, when I lose my humor, call the coroner because I've given, that's it.
That's how I feel. Yep. I said to my husband, I'm going to keep laughing all the way to the grave. I'm telling you.
Exactly. Exactly. Life is too precious to be upset.
True.
You know, I had a teacher that used to say, save us for the big stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be upset about the little stuff. Always save us for the big stuff. And I always remember that. And it's true. If you look outside, I'm sitting in a parking lot, and I see the beautiful trees. And, of course, it's Virginia, and it's 88. Oh, now it's 94 degrees up. But it's okay because, you know, God's with us no matter what. You know, and that's how I feel. And and I thank you for your program. And when I'm in the car now and again, I get to listen to you. And I do appreciate your blessings to all of us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been a real blessing today, Dorothea, to a lot of people as well.
You.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We'll be praying praying up and on August 25th for your hip surgery as well.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. And take care, and God bless you all.
God bless you. Okay. Another line is open there. We're talking about health matters today, how you feel about doctor's appointments, surgeries, procedures. You feel confident, peaceful? Are you apprehensive, nervous? Have you gotten some spiritual care beforehand, like the anointing of the sick? Did that put you at a little bit of ease? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We will go next to another first-time caller in Pennsylvania. Mustasa is listening to the program in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing very good. My name is Mustasa. This is the first time that I'm calling EWTN, and I have like a simple question, if I don't mind.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. If a life-saving surgery will result in losing the ability to walk or speak, will that still be considered a worthwhile outcome from a medical and ethical perspective? This is my only question.
So say that again. I just want to make sure I understand the context and the way you're wording that question. So please just. So if it's a life-saving procedure, and it results in like someone not being able to walk or something.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that is absolutely correct.
How do you know that though? How do you know the outcome? What the outcome is going to be? Did they say that's definite?
Definite. That's correct.
Oh, okay. So definite life-saving surgery results in an outcome where the person can't speak, or did you say speak and what else?
What I'm trying to say is would result in losing the ability to walk or speak.
Oh, walk or speak. Okay. All right.
Well, I think the key to that is neither Debbie nor I are moral theologians, Mustasa, but it seems the key phrase there is life-saving. You know, I mean, the church certainly, you know, would look at a situation where if someone's going to have their life saved and then perhaps be limited in other areas, that would be certainly a morally, you know, acceptable procedure if that's what you're asking, an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as unfortunate as that would be, go ahead, Deb.
Well, I mean, people who cannot speak are extremely valuable and productive in this world. We know that from people that have been professors and that have used instruments in order to communicate, and they're highly skilled, and they have contributed and had a life filled with purpose and passion. Same with people who cannot walk. You know, just because a person can't move and walk in that way or drive a car or something doesn't mean that they have lost their value.
Right.
So I don't know if that's where you're going with it, but I think that if it's a life-saving procedure, when you said, I mean, like you said, we're not moral theologians, but you finish.
Jerry. Yeah, well, no, I think saving a life is really what is the key there. Mustasa, if you have further questions about that, you can feel free to email us, take2@ewtn.com. We would be happy to further the conversation in that forum. Thanks so much for your phone call. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. and you on EWTN Radio. Thank you so much for making time to be with us today, talking about real life stuff. That's what we do on this show. We drill deep some days, other days a little lighter, but today we're talking about if you have apprehensions or concerns, or maybe you find yourself just totally at peace when it comes to going to the doctor, getting tests, you know, surgeries, procedures, things like that. We've had some great calls, including learning how you can be a witness to others, maybe who are a little bit more fearful than you might be in those situations. So feel free, if you'd like, to grab that one open phone line there at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And we'll continue along with Dennis, who is in Ave Maria, Florida, listening today on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Glad you joined us today.
Thank you. I had an incident with AFib back in 2022, and everything was going fine until January 1st of 2023, after I had my first glass of wine since I had an incident at AFib, which is a fast heart rate. And I kept going to the emergency like every day. And finally they said, hey, the only way we're going to correct this is not by medication, but you have to have an ablation where they actually go into your heart through a catheter up, and then they go and they fix whatever's causing the bleep in your heart to cause it to go into a rapid pace. And I always was a little afraid about any kind of doctor procedure. I think I inherited from that, my family. My mother used to be totally afraid of doctors, always thinking of the worst thing could happen or the worst news. But this time, it didn't give me any time to think. The last week, they said, hey, instead of coming into emergency every day, why don't you just, we're just going to admit you and you stay there the whole week. Of course, the whole week, I didn't have any AFib incidents, but it gave me an opportunity to evangelize. I was having communion every day, and one of the people next to me in the bed said, hey, how did that happen? How did you get that? You know, and I said, well, when you get admitted, you tell them you're Catholic and you like to be a priest. And so that's how I get it. So he started getting it. He came in for a gallbladder operation. He went and had a catheterization, found out he needed, you know, quadruple bypass surgery. He was so nervous, and I was able to calm him down for that whole week. And I never got an opportunity to think about my ablation, but it gave me an opportunity to evangelize. And then since then, I haven't had any incidences of AFib since that time, and that was January of 2023. I just had a procedure here this last Tuesday. I had a colonoscopy, and I was a little worried about that because I had a positive result from my Cologuard test. But I went in there, didn't worry about it. I already got the results back. It's benign. Nothing to worry about. We'll see in another 10 years.
Praise God.
Awesome. So your heart's doing well. My dad had AFib, so that's always can make people very nervous. You feel at peace and calm, and you sound like you've got a real joy about you, Dennis.
Yeah, I haven't had any incidents of AFib since then. Cool. I've worn monitors for a month and everything, and everything went fine. And so I'm just blessed that that happened. Plus, I got rid of my fear of doctors.
Yeah, right. Your fear of doctors. That's so funny. I love your giggle. You have a great giggle, Dennis. Keep that up. That's good for the heart, huh?
Yeah.
Got to smile all the time.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Dennis.
Yes, thank you so very much.
Appreciate your participation. Yeah.
Couple things real quickly. I just wanted to go back to the caller right before Dennis. You know, it just made me think of this. It was so interesting. Late last night, as we prepare for each episode of Take Two, Jerry, you know, we do. We're going to go to Alana next. Alana, hold on. Don't go anywhere. But we always prepare for the shows. And it, you know, I love Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. I have it right behind me in my studio. I love it. And it kept coming up last night. I even posted it on Facebook. Now I realize it has to do with the caller right before Dennis. So if you're listening, the caller that talked about the life-saving surgery and what if the outcome was, you know, definitely without the ability to talk or the ability to walk. And, you know, it made me think of my neighbor. When we were raising our children when they were very small, my neighbor was pregnant with her last child. She had five kids, the youngest child. And the doctor said, for 100% certainty, 100% certainty that this child was going to have severe brain damage and was not going to have any quality of life born. 100%. And my neighbor was pro-life all the way, you know, just amazingly devout Catholic. And she said, no, this baby's going to be born. I know this baby's coming for a reason. And little Mary is now 35 years old, and she's highly successful and married with kids, and she's amazing. And, you know, with God, all things are possible. I know that doctors can somewhat try to predict things, but God is above that. And I just, you know, and it made me think of that on this on the previous caller, right, Jerry? So yeah. I don't always go with a definite what should I say, like an outcome. Yeah, prognosis. Because God is above all that. And so I think we have to take that into it when we are discerning different things and what it means for our things we want to enter into, like procedures. Anyway, I just had to share that because it's just incredible how God works. And he's in the miracle business. And by the way, Monday is our miracle show. Alana in Bismarck, North Dakota. That was a good segue, Jerry. Alana in Bismarck, North Dakota is waiting on Real Presence Radio. And I think you have a message for one of our Take Two family members, for Rachel.
Yes. Yes, I do. So, hello, by the way.
Hi, Emma.
So, long story short, I have been working on a project for years, focusing on suffering and how to suffer well. And recently it has become very clear that the Lord wants me to continue doing that. And he has been giving me all these different coincidences and little signs. I guess really the main lesson is there's no such thing as coincidence. And that definitely became the case just now when Rachel came on and spoke with you guys. She was the first caller who came after I had turned the radio on. And she talked about being a witness in the chair while she is receiving chemotherapy. And I just thought her story was amazing. And then another one of those coincidences happened when she asked for prayers because she's receiving chemo at 1 o'clock today, because it just so happens that on this one day, I am doing a substitute adoration hour at 1 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
So I decided that I would be dedicating that hour to her. I hope that she hears this and that I am going to be praying for her as she's receiving her chemo.
Oh, my goodness. What a gift. I hope, Rachel, you're listening in San Antonio, Texas. Your sister, Alana, from Bismarck, North Dakota, is praying for you at 1 p.m. Central Time as you go into that chemo treatment. Wow. That's a gift, Alana. You are amazing. Thank you.
And you happen to be on the same time zone, too. So.
Oh, yeah. You guys are on the same time zone? Wow.
Central Time, yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Alana, and can continue your ministry work in this area of suffering. I think it's very important. Jerry and I talk all the time about letting your suffering work for you rather than against you. So important that there's work and resources and products and programs being put out there for people, because there's a lot of suffering. We know we do the prayer shows twice a month, Alana. So we're behind you in this ministry work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You got a beautiful, generous heart there, Alana. Thank you. And I know Rachel's going to appreciate that so much. There will be many graces that will come from that. All right. So we're going to move along here. If you're on the line, Jim, Carol, Helen, we're going to get to all of you. In fact, Jim is next. He is a first-time caller in Rochester, New York, and he is listening today on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to call and let you know the power of prayer. You know, every year we have the fall and spring on-air fund drives, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time they ask for an intention, and they put it on the prayer wall. Well, I've donated every time for five times, and all five of the people that were on that prayer wall miraculously healed. I'm talking the doctors had them dead, gone, no chance of survival, and they're all walking, talking, breathing, and my niece, 30-year-old niece, God bless her, she got T-boned by a tractor trailer, and she went to the hospital. The doctor said, everybody get in here, she's not going to make it 2 days. I called and donated at the prayer wall, and she's walking and talking and breathing. I hugged her yesterday.
Praise God.
So the power of prayer, I'm telling people, if you're going to donate to EWTN and put an intention on that prayer wall. I've had five miracles in a row. Mm-hmm. And I let people know that God's in charge, and that's the way we're going with it.
God's in charge. I love that.
I want you praying for me, Jim.
Me too. Me too. I was thinking, Jim, do you have your own prayer wall going?
Well, I pray. I have my saints. I saw your show the other day. I couldn't call. I have my saints that I pray for every day. And I'm talking 15, 18 saints that I pray for. These guys come through for me every day. Every day. And I got to let people know. You know, I tell my wife, sure, you got to let people know that this prayer intention wall, when you give money, I'm telling you, on those shows, all five miracles. Wow. And I told Molly, I told her the other day when she got out, my niece, and she started crying. She started crying. She said, what are you talking about? I said, Molly, this is what I did. I mean, I have nothing to do with this. It was God, but I put you on the prayer wall. The whole everybody's family was praying for you.
Wow. Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question, because now you can't leave us yet, because you just kind of teased us about these saints you go to. Can you just give us a couple saints? And by the way, this is the Feast of St. James, and Jim is calling up. I find this so ironic in a God sense. Jim, give us a hint, saints you go to.
Well, I'll tell you what. So, St. Andrew's my confirmation saint. He's my go-to guy. And St. John Paul the Great, every day. Every morning when I say the rosary, I have a Saint Teresa of Calcutta rosary that I got from EW10 when I donated one year. Mm-hmm. They sent me the rosary. And I pray to Saint Teresa of Calcutta because she worked with the worst of the worst in the slums of the world. And I rehab houses, and I put people in that are homeless and out of jail and out of rehab. And I deal with those people every day, and it's very difficult. And St. Teresa comes through for me every day. Sometimes I got to stop and sit in my truck and pray to her, and she gets me through it. I don't know. It sounds stupid, but it really works.
No, it's beautiful.
What I'm hearing at the root of this, Jim, is just a deep faith that you have. You know, you mentioned, you know, it's not you, it's all God. And that's really, we all need to have that attitude. You know, that God is, as Debbie said a few minutes ago, God is still in the miracle business. We're going to talk about miracles on Monday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have that very deep and trusting and childlike faith that God is going to come through, Jim. And it sounds like he honors that faith of yours.
Mm-hmm. No, he does. I'm very blessed. I was raised cradle Catholic, whatever you want to call it. I never really got serious till I was 40. Started saying the rosary and giving. You got to give yourself to Jesus. You got to give it. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Jim, real quickly, you talked about the Station of the Cross and their fundraisers twice a year that they do, and Jerry and I are very familiar because many years we were hosting their pledge drives. And Jim, you're spot on. The fine folks at the Station of the Cross, they are prayer warriors. We know, Jerry and I know them very... Yeah, they are awesome. And I mean, one of them is Rick Paolini, who's the one who inspired us to go deep into divine mercy. Every time I say his name, I just am so grateful to God that he introduced the gifts and the blessings of the divine mercy messages, St. Faustina and the chaplet. So, Jim, you know, you have a beautiful station that you listen to, and it's so wonderful that you entrust the prayers to them and the intentions, and then you're praying for them, and you're in the miracles, and then God is in the miracle business, Jim. And I love your spirit. I love your faith in this. I agree with Jerry. Keep going, brother. Something's going right for you. So you keep getting those blessings and graces.
Thank you. I'm sorry to bother you today. Thank you for taking my call.
Not a bother, Jim, at all. Happy feast day too. Again, as Debbie said. What a great day. Thanks, Jim, for the call. Appreciate that so very, very much. While we're on feast days today, I just want to give a shout out to my baby brother, Jim, James William, who is having his feast day today. So I'm offering special prayers for him. Mm-hmm. And it's also, he's one of the patrons of my Diocese of Orlando. Our cathedral is this Cathedral of St. James. So big day for us here. Carol and Helen, hang on. I just have to mention, speaking of divine mercy and divine intimacy, Dan and Stephanie Burke show you how to surrender to divine providence Sunday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's Divine Intimacy Radio on EWTN. Again, it's Dan and Stephanie Burke, Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time here on EWTN.
Okay, so we're going to go to Carol in Virginia, and Carol is listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Carol.
Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Before I tell you what I was going to tell you, I really want to thank both of you. Jerry, and you especially for giving me the number of your priest friend that is now at St. Mary's, close to where I live.
Oh, good.
Such a wonderful help. I did call him, and he was very kind to talk with me and to give me some advice.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
So all of that went well, and I was the one who called you back mm-hmm. in April mm-hmm. that I had spent all of the month of March bleeding, and I couldn't get a doctor to help me. Blood coming out of my legs, and it was very scary and very horrible that I've finally found a doctor, a wound care doctor. Mm-hmm. And it took just 4 weeks, and the wounds were healed. I had 7 wounds in my calf on the left leg, and it healed up. I didn't have to put bandages all over me anymore, but we got the diagnosis. I have lymphedema. Mm-hmm. So in case you don't know what that is, mm-hmm. it's where your circulation doesn't go right, so it's all in your legs, mm-hmm. and the blood doesn't have anywhere to go, so it's got to do something. So your legs swell up, and then parts of your skin burst, and mm-hmm. it comes out that way. Mm-hmm. So I guess from what I'm understanding, I'm going to have this for a very long time. It's not something that goes away, but all the bleeding's gone. I had severe anemia, so I'm still kind of getting my blood back up to par again. And I go to physical therapy, so I'm getting out finally for the first time.
Beautiful. Mm.
It's so wonderful. And when I talked to your friend, your priest friend, told him I want to come there on the first Friday. I think I feel confident enough to drive. And but the physical therapy has done wonderful things. But again, here we go again. I went yesterday, and they found some lesions behind my knees where I had bled out, but not to the great extent that it was before. So I'm doing a lot of compression therapy, and they think that the physical therapist thinks that I have something more to go along with that needs to be diagnosed. And so I'm going to be making some more doctor's appointments and stuff. And it worries me, to tell you the truth, that, you know, I have to give it to the Lord, because I have to do everything that I can do mm-hmm. To be fit. I can't help other people if I can't help myself.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm focusing
Carol.
There because...
Yeah, yes. Carol, hold on a second. We got you in the book. You're staying in the book. We're going to continue to pray for you, okay? So be assured of our prayers. But Carol, as you were talking, keep focused on a solution for you and your body. And what I mean by that, keep asking questions, keep pursuing other things that they may introduce to you. Keep looking for those things that are going to bring you relief and let you get back on your feet again and visiting the priest and doing all the things you want to do. Okay, Carol, because your perseverance, your drive, your focus, God sees that. And God sees what you want to accomplish. And ask for those graces, Carol. Say, God, I need these abundant graces to put the right people in place at the right time to give me the path to take so that I can get rolling again. So Carol, be pursuing that. If you stay in the being nervous or the fear bit part, which is very common, okay, it's going to keep you stuck. We don't want you stuck. We want you pursuing what's best for you. Okay, so we're going to be praying for that. Is that okay?
Oh, please. Thank you so much for that. I noticed that, you know, everybody at physical therapy thinks that I'm very positive and I'm doing extra and all this other stuff, and I have a good attitude about it. But like I told them yesterday, sometimes I get like, oh my goodness, this is ever going to change. It just gets really hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not a good martyr person.
Neither is Jerry. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Debbie can say that because I say it all the time, Carol.
It's okay. You're not alone, Carol. You know, everybody goes through that. They feel the angst, the nerves, the worry about what if. You know, Carol, you're very normal. It's just we want you to get that game face on and go for it.
I will. I hope that they figure out what this other thing is. The other thing going on with me that isn't lymphedema, my body freezes. In other words, I can walk. As I walk, all of a sudden, I can't move. Mm. And I'm standing there like a post. And there's nothing I can do about it. Wow. Nothing moves. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I'm back. I can feel my legs. I can move my legs. And it's like from the waist down. Walking across in a crosswalk. This is why I fear going to church or something. Park in the parking lot and you have to get out and walk. Well, if I'm walking where cars are,
yeah,
and I have this problem, it's very frightening. So
yeah.
I keep trying to figure out what's going on. And then, I don't know, we were talking about it at physical therapy, because they experienced a little bit of it. I was doing some, I forget what I was doing that they were asking me to do, and I was doing just fine, and then all of a sudden it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carol, be assured of our prayers. That is something that we will definitely focus on. We like to specifically, you know, zero in on prayer intentions, and that is something we will be praying for and these follow-up appointments that you have with the doctor. But we're so glad for the positive news that you have shared with us, the good things that the doctors are finding out, and the good direction that you're going in there. So be assured of our prayers. We appreciate you so much, and thank you for being part of our broadcast today. We appreciate it. We just wanted to save a couple of minutes to get over to Helen in Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Helen. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I wasn't going to call, but I'm hoping what I say will help other people.
Sure.
And I have so many things I could say, but I'm going to try to keep it shorter. So
well,
I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer almost 2 years ago.
Hmm.
I had to have an abdominal hysterectomy. Right before the surgery, the doctor assistant came back in and said, we may have to remove your kidney because it seemed like the lymph nodes were wrapped around or something near the kidney. So I went in 20 minutes thinking, okay, they're going to have to do this to some lymph nodes. So as I'm being wheeled into the surgical room, one of the doctor's assistants saw I had my rosary beads, they're plastic, my scapula, and I put it under my pillow. So it was during Lent. So she said, obviously, you're Catholic. I said, yes, are you? And she said, yes, I am. So we were talking about our faith, and I said, could you please pray for me? And she did. So fast forward the surgery, the lymph node just slid right off. They didn't have to do anything to the kidney. The doctor was concerned other things were going on in my abdomen. Nothing was, you know, wrong. And he came out, and he was glowing from what my family said. The doctor was so thrilled. He said the surgery couldn't have gone better. I needed to, and just to backtrack, a friend of mine, when I told her this happened, she started a prayer train for me of about 60 family, friends, and parishioners to pray for me before, during, and after the surgery, rosary, offering masses, adoration.
Beautiful.
And it couldn't have gone better. And when I got my treatment, I would pray over my treatment bags, and I had no side effects, no issues with any of the treatment that I had. I think I needed one less treatment than what they had anticipated. And the doctors could not believe that I didn't have any side effects. I pray over all of my blood work when I go to the doctor, and all my blood work is coming out great. I, when I get my scans, I take my plastic rosary beads because they have to be plastic to go through the scan. I have my scapular, and thank God everything has been coming out great.
Wow. Helen, praise God for that.
Amen.
Yeah, we got that closing music going here, but we're so glad that we got to you. Eileen, first-time caller in Pennsylvania, we're going to be praying for you. You had you said you went through some fearful procedures. We wish we could hear how those came out. Feel free to email us at take2@ewtn.com. By the way, this is interesting, providential. Eileen was one of the Take Two family members who suggested this topic today, so I wish we could have gotten to Eileen in Pennsylvania, but that is going to be it for this week of broadcasts here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Thanks to Vanessa, Michael, and Rich, the show team. Thank you, Take Two family, for making it another impactful conversation. We wish you a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.